My brothers and sisters in the Lord, a wonderful story, a wonderful novel to help accompany us through this Lenten journey is the story of the novel by the name of Les Miserables. Many of you have probably saw the Broadway production. Some of you may have seen the movie. Hopefully you have had the opportunity to read the actual book written by Victor Hugo. It is a wonderful story, my brothers and sisters, and it is a story that has a wonderful theme for our Lenten journey. Those who are familiar with it or have read it or seen the musical a long time ago, you remember that it takes place in France. And the main character is a gentleman by the name of Jean Valjean. And Jean Valjean, at the beginning of the story, the musical, he has been in prison for 19 years. He was first sent to prison for 5 years because he stole a loaf of bread to feed his sister and her 5 children during a time of great economic need in the country. The remaining of those 19 years were placed on his sentence because he tried to escape. And so here he is now, a free man. And certainly, my brothers and sisters, after spending 19 years in prison, he has a very hardened heart towards society, towards his fellow man. And as the story picks up, right at the beginning, Jean Valjean, released from prison, is seeking employment. He's seeking a place to live. And he's rejected at every corner. No one wants to hire him because he is a former convict. And back then they could tell because of the tattoo they placed on your body. No one wanted to offer him hospitality. No one wanted to deal with him. He was the outcast of society. Except that he came upon a kind old bishop. And when he came upon this kind old bishop, my brothers and sisters, the bishop offered him hospitality. He offered him an act of charity by inviting him into his home, offering him something to eat and a place to sleep for the night. And the bishop was a very humble man. He didn't have a lot of earthly goods. His most important possession was a set of sterling silver plates and utensils that he only broke out when there were guests at the rectory. And so that night after the dinner and the bishop retired to his room, Jean Valjean, instead of staying around to offer the bishop some help, maybe with the gardens, with the repair work, he decides to leave in the middle of the night. And when he leaves, he takes the sterling silver plates and utensils with him. He steals from the bishop, but he doesn't get far when the police catch him. And they know he's a criminal. And they know, my brothers and sisters, that he shouldn't have that silver with him. So in order to get testimony against him, they bring him back to the bishop so that the bishop could accuse him of being a thief and therefore send him back to prison. But when he comes back to the bishop, in an act of love and an act of charity and an act of forgiveness, he sees what's going on. He knows that Jean Valjean will be sent back to prison for a very long time. And so, as the police and Jean Valjean come before him, he smiles. He sees that they have the silver plates and the utensils, and he says to Jean Valjean, "My friend, you forgot to take the silver candlesticks as well when you left." And after that, there's a very important part, a turning point in the story. This is what the words are from the actual musical. And remember, this is the bishop speaking to Jean Valjean. And remember this, my brother. See in this some higher plan. You must use this precious silver to become an honest man. By the witness of the martyrs, by the passion and the blood, God has raised you out of darkness. I have bought your soul for God. It's the turning point, my friend. It is the invitation that the bishop offered to Valjean. And Valjean had to make the decision to accept the invitation and to live it out, to embrace it. And all of this transpires right at the beginning of the story. The rest of the story, the rest of the novel, the rest of the musical is how Jean Valjean accepts that invitation to become an honest man. How he accepts that invitation and how he embraces it in changing the rest of his life. My brothers and sisters, as we continue our Lenten journey, God has extended to us that same invitation. But the question is, do we accept it? Do we embrace it? And do we live it out? God sent the invitation in our first reading to Abram. The Lord said to Abram, go forth from the land of your kinsfolk, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. The first covenant with the people of Israel. And we know, my brothers and sisters, from reading the Old Testament, we know that they had a very hard time accepting that invitation. There were years that they spent in idolatry. There were years that they spent in slavery. There were years that they spent going around and around in that desert. There were years that were made up of divided kingdoms and times of exile. But the call of the prophet was always calling people back to the covenant, back to that original invitation that God sent to Abraham, our father in faith. Fast forward to today's gospel. During the second Sunday of Lent every year, we hear the gospel of the transfiguration of the Lord. Jesus goes up Mount Tabor with Peter, James, and John, and there he is transfigured. They see a glimpse of his glory. But it's an invitation, my friends. It's an invitation to continue the walk, to continue the journey. Peter doesn't see it as an invitation at first. He's ready to pitch camp. Lord, let us stay here. Let us build some tents. But Jesus knew the story wasn't going to end here. The story was going to continue. And the only way to see the glory, the only way to experience the resurrection, was that Jesus had to walk the way of the cross. He had to walk his passion and to his death. We read today from St. Matthew's Gospel. There's a wonderful line in St. Luke's narrative of the Transfiguration. Not long after Jesus comes down from the mount, St. Luke writes this: Jesus resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem. If we look at that in the original language, it would be better translated as he set his face towards Jerusalem. And to set his face towards Jerusalem means that he set his face towards his passion and his death, so that the experience of the glory of the resurrection could become a reality. You see, my brothers and sisters, when Jesus was transfigured, when he was up there conversing with Moses and Elijah, they weren't speaking about the weather. They weren't speaking about, it's kind of chilly out there for the St. Patrick's Day parade today. They weren't speaking about any of that. They were speaking about setting his face towards Jerusalem, his passion and his death, the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And so you see, my friends, as we continue our Lenten journey, the Lord extends the invitation each and every day of our lives. The question is, do we embrace it? And we do our darndest to live it out, to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, to set our face towards Jerusalem, picking up our cross each and every day and following Jesus, dying to self and living more completely for God. Because you know what the biggest temptation is? The biggest temptation that Satan puts in our lives is this: give me anything except Jesus. Give me anything and everything except the Lord. My work is more important than Jesus. My school is more important than Jesus. My sleep is more important than Jesus. Sex is more important than Jesus. Money is more important than Jesus. My own way and my own will is more important than Jesus. And the litany could go on and on. That's the biggest temptation. And how do we overcome it? Listen to the words the Father speaks at the Transfiguration. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. The only way to overcome it, the only way to set our face towards Jerusalem, is to listen to Jesus. And we cannot listen, my brothers and sisters, unless we spend time with him. Unless we spend quiet time with him. So that we can listen to him speak to us in our lives. Do we come here before the altar to spend time with him? Do we find ourselves in the Adoration Chapel to spend time with Jesus? There is no reason, my brothers and sisters, given the size of our parish, that that Adoration Chapel shouldn't be filled every hour of every day as we listen to Jesus. And I know people say to me, well, Father, I listened for about 15 minutes and he didn't say anything. Well, listen for 20 minutes. And if he doesn't speak to you in 20 minutes, stay a half hour. And if not a half hour, stay the full hour. But eventually God is going to speak. But do we show up? Do we commit ourselves? Father, I just don't have time. Well, if you're really that busy, you're too busy. Because we put all these things in front of Jesus and our relationship with him. Well, Father, it's never a convenient time. We'll go at 4 a.m. I don't think you're doing much at 4 a.m. except sleeping. Ooh, Father, that's hard. I know it's hard. Grow up. You see, my friends, we're filled with excuses, including myself. We always have our excuses of putting everything before Jesus. Jean Valjean accepted that invitation of the bishop, and it became a turning point in his life. And if you want to know how the story ends, read the novel. I'm not going to tell you. Or watch the musical. I don't recommend the movie too much. But you see, my friends, God extends the invitation this day. What about us? Do we respond? Do we set our face towards Jerusalem? Because if we do, then praise God, we too will see the glory of the Lord in our own lives, and everything else will be changed.